Introduction. Today, we embark on an in-depth exploration of the structural and functional architecture of the human brain, with particular attention to the cortical and subcortical features that underlie behavior and cognition. This unit serves as a foundational overview for psychologists and counselors, offering a scaffold for interpreting brain-based phenomena observed in clinical and therapeutic settings. We'll cover gross anatomy, neural signaling, rhythmic oscillations, and emergent discoveries that reshape our understanding of the brain. By tracing the links between anatomical structures and behavioral functions, we can better appreciate how psychological processes are grounded in physiological mechanisms. This understanding informs both diagnostic acumen and therapeutic strategy. This lecture covers acortical and subcortical structures, macro and microanatomy, part 1. Neuroscience. The cortex can be broadly separated into the frontal and posterior regions. The frontal cortex, especially the prefrontal cortex, is crucial for initiating and regulating behavior. It manages executive functions such as planning, attention, decision-making, and emotion regulation. In contrast, the posterior cortex, including the parietal, temporal, and occipital lobes, primarily processes sensory input and stores memories. This basic division reflects the brain's dual role in perception and action. Within this architecture, the prefrontal cortex acts as a command center. It gathers input from across the brain and uses it to simulate future outcomes, enabling prediction and planning. This simulation supports goal-directed behavior and adaptive emotional responses. The perception-action cycle, governed by the prefrontal cortex, reflects our ongoing interaction with the environment. These cycles are essential to behaviors as varied as solving a problem or managing stress. The nervous system also relies on intricate loops of information flow, combining feed-forward, bottom-up, and feedback, top-down signals. The relationship between the thalamus and cortex epitomizes this interplay. Thalamocortical neurons carry sensory data upward, while corticothalamic neurons return instructions downward. These circuits dynamically shape attention and awareness. The resulting electrical patterns are detectable through EEG, offering a window into the brain's internal dialogue. A. Cortical and subcortical structures, macro and microanatomy. This section dissects the physical and microscopic architecture of the brain, starting from broad navigational principles down to cellular microanatomy. We begin by exploring orientation and anatomical language, then move through major structural divisions of the brain. From there, we investigate protective systems, fluid dynamics, and vascular networks. Finally, we conclude with a discussion of cortical and subcortical contributions to EEG rhythms and neural signaling. This section provides the anatomical and physiological groundwork for interpreting brain activity. Introduction. The human brain is a remarkably complex organ, weighing about 3 pounds and composed of more than 86 billion neurons. These neurons do not operate in isolation, but instead form dynamic networks with glial cells and blood vessels. Macroscopic structures such as lobes and fissures organize these networks, while microscopic features like synapses and ion channels regulate their function. Understanding this dual level of organization, macro and micro, is essential for linking brain activity to observable behavior. This section will progressively build your knowledge from the outer surfaces of the brain to its cellular and molecular underpinnings. Clinical and scientific interest in the brain's structure is not merely academic. It directly informs our understanding of cognition, emotion, and psychopathology. Structural abnormalities, whether congenital or acquired, can lead to marked disruptions in thought and behavior. Likewise, subtle variations in connectivity and signaling may influence personality, intelligence, and susceptibility to mental illness. Psychological interventions often aim to recalibrate these networks through learning, behavior change, or neurofeedback. Therefore, a strong anatomical foundation enhances the effectiveness of clinical practice. We will now turn to how we navigate and describe the brain in anatomical space. Doing so allows precise communication across medical and mental health disciplines. It also facilitates the interpretation of imaging data, which is increasingly central in both research and clinical settings. With this foundation in place, we can explore the layout of the cortex and its internal compartments. Navigating the brain. To understand and communicate about the brain's layout, we use three anatomical planes. The sagittal plane divides the body into left and right sections and is especially useful for examining midline structures like the corpus callosum. The coronal plane separates the front and back of the brain, revealing cortical thickness and ventricular size. The horizontal or axial plane slices the brain into upper and lower portions, which is common in MRI and CT scans. These planes form the basis for orienting ourselves in neuroimaging and dissection. Familiarity with these planes allows practitioners to interpret pathology and structure-function relationships. For example, damage visible on a coronal MRI section may affect different functional areas than damage on a horizontal section. This spatial framework also aids in discussing surgical approaches or rehabilitation strategies. Anatomical planes are not merely descriptive. They have clinical implications. Understanding them enhances our capacity to diagnose and treat neurological and psychological disorders. When we combine these anatomical planes with directional terms, we gain an even more precise map. This system becomes particularly important when identifying the location of lesions, understanding the progression of neurodegenerative diseases, or describing the site of brain stimulation in neurofeedback protocols. Directional terms. Directional terms are essential tools in describing where structures are located in the brain. For instance, medial refers to positions closer to the midline, while lateral means farther away from it. This distinction is crucial when comparing activity across hemispheres or locating cortical asymmetries. Anterior, or rostral, describes structures toward the front of the brain, and posterior, or caudal, indicates the back. Superior and inferior describe vertical positions, often used when discussing brainstem levels. Additional terms include ipsilateral, which means on the same side, and contralateral, which refers to the opposite side. These terms are particularly useful in interpreting clinical findings like motor weakness or visual field loss, which often occur contralateral to a lesion. Proximal and distal provide relational information about how close or far a structure is from a reference point, often used in limb or nerve descriptions. Finally, dorsal, toward the back, and ventral, toward the belly, are terms inherited from the developmental orientation of the nervous system. Together, these terms form the syntax of neuroanatomy. The consistent use of directional language ensures accurate communication among clinicians and researchers. It also provides a framework for mapping functional zones and integrating anatomical and physiological data. For psychologists, this knowledge enhances the ability to link cognitive and behavioral symptoms with specific brain regions. As neuroimaging and brain-based diagnostics become more accessible, fluency in this anatomical language will be increasingly vital in clinical settings. Cortical features. The cerebral cortex is characterized by its convoluted surface, a result of evolution's attempt to maximize surface area within a limited cranial volume. This folding produces ridges, gyri, and grooves, sulci, which house distinct functional regions. For example, the precentral gyrus contains the primary motor cortex, which directs voluntary movements, while the postcentral gyrus processes somatosensory information. The central sulcus demarcates the boundary between these two critical regions. These landmarks are vital for understanding both normal function and the localization of deficits. Fissures, which are deeper than sulci, also serve as major anatomical boundaries. The Sylvian fissure, or lateral sulcus, divides the temporal lobe from the frontal and parietal lobes. The longitudinal fissure separates the two cerebral hemispheres, while the parieto-occipital sulcus marks the division between parietal and occipital lobes. These divisions are not arbitrary. They align with distinct functional roles and connectivity patterns. They also help define Brodmann areas used in brain mapping. Approximately two-thirds of the cortical surface lies hidden within these folds. This arrangement increases computational capacity without enlarging the skull. The cortical thickness averages about 2.53 millimeters, but varies depending on the region and function. Areas involved in higher-order cognition, such as the prefrontal cortex, tend to have greater complexity and connectivity. This structural variability underlies individual differences in cognition and behavior. Brain subdivisions. The brain is conventionally divided into three major parts: the forebrain, midbrain, and hindbrain. The forebrain includes the telencephalon and diencephalon. The telencephalon encompasses the cerebral cortex and subcortical structures like the basal ganglia and limbic system, which are essential for voluntary movement and emotion. The diencephalon contains the thalamus and hypothalamus, which regulate sensory relay and homeostasis. Each subdivision contributes uniquely to behavior and cognitive functioning. The midbrain, or mesencephalon, lies beneath the forebrain and includes the superior and inferior colliculi, which are involved in visual and auditory processing. It also houses the substantia nigra, a region rich in dopamine neurons. Degeneration in this area is associated with Parkinson's disease, making it a focus in neurology and psychiatry. The midbrain serves as a relay between the forebrain and hindbrain, integrating sensory and motor pathways. It also plays a role in attention and arousal. The hindbrain consists of the metencephalon and myelencephalon. The metencephalon contains the pons and cerebellum. The cerebellum is increasingly recognized for its role not only in motor coordination, but also in cognitive and emotional regulation. The myelencephalon includes the medulla oblongata, which governs autonomic functions such as breathing and heart rate. Collectively, the brain subdivisions form an integrated system that enables thought, emotion, movement, and survival. Meninges. The brain is enveloped in three protective membranes called the meninges: dura mater, arachnoid mater, and pia mater. The dura mater is the outermost and toughest layer, providing a rigid protective sheath. Beneath it lies the arachnoid mater, a delicate web-like membrane that cushions the brain with cerebrospinal fluid in the subarachnoid space. The innermost layer, the pia mater, is a thin membrane that closely follows the contours of the brain, dipping into every sulcus and fissure. Together, these layers protect the brain from mechanical injury and provide a stable environment. The meninges also support vascular structures. Major arteries and veins run through the subarachnoid space, anchored by the arachnoid trabeculae. Any trauma to these membranes can result in serious clinical consequences, such as a subdural or subarachnoid hemorrhage. Infections like meningitis cause inflammation of these layers and can rapidly compromise neurological function. Therefore, understanding the anatomy and pathology of the meninges is essential in clinical practice. In psychological settings, knowledge of meningeal pathology aids in differential diagnosis. For instance, severe headaches, cognitive disturbances, and neck rigidity might suggest meningitis rather than a primary psychological condition. Moreover, some psychiatric symptoms can follow traumatic brain injury, where meningeal damage has occurred. Integrating this anatomical knowledge helps clarify etiology and directs appropriate referral and treatment. Cerebral ventricles. The cerebral ventricles are interconnected cavities within the brain that are filled with cerebrospinal fluid, CSF. These structures include the paired lateral ventricles, the third ventricle, and the fourth ventricle. CSF is produced by the choroid plexus lining the ventricles and serves multiple roles. It cushions the brain, distributes nutrients, and removes metabolic waste. The ventricular system acts as a shock absorber, especially during rapid head movements, protecting delicate neural tissues from injury. CSF circulates through the ventricles, flows around the brain and spinal cord, and is eventually reabsorbed into the bloodstream. Abnormalities in the ventricular system can have profound consequences. Obstruction of CSF flow may result in hydrocephalus, which can cause elevated intracranial pressure, cognitive changes, and brain damage if untreated. Enlargement of the ventricles is also seen in certain psychiatric conditions, such as schizophrenia, possibly indicating brain atrophy. The shape and size of the ventricles are commonly assessed in brain imaging to detect disease or injury. Clinical understanding of this system provides insight into both neurological and psychiatric presentations. For clinicians, the ventricles are a reminder that brain function is not only determined by neuronal signaling, but also by fluid dynamics and pressure regulation. Disruptions in CSF production or reabsorption can present as headaches, confusion, and visual disturbances. In biofeedback and psychophysiology, recognizing the impact of pressure changes or flow abnormalities on mood and cognition adds depth to assessment and intervention. Glymphatic system. The glymphatic system is a recently discovered waste clearance mechanism in the brain that functions similarly to the lymphatic system in the rest of the body. It involves the movement of cerebrospinal fluid, CSF, through perivascular spaces, facilitated by astrocytes and their aquaporin 4 channels. This system helps clear metabolic waste products, including beta amyloid and tau proteins, which are implicated in neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's. The glymphatic system is most active during slow-wave sleep, suggesting that rest is essential for brain detoxification. Its discovery has shifted the paradigm of how we understand brain homeostasis. Because the brain has historically been considered immune-privileged, the absence of conventional lymphatic vessels raised questions about how waste is cleared. The identification of this fluid transport system resolves that mystery and emphasizes the importance of glial cells in maintaining brain health. Impairments in glymphatic function are linked to cognitive decline, neuroinflammation, and increased vulnerability to brain injury. For psychologists, this highlights how sleep hygiene and neuroglial function may influence cognitive performance, emotional regulation, and resilience. This system has practical implications for mental health care. Sleep disorders, traumatic brain injury, and chronic stress may all compromise glymphatic efficiency. Encouraging proper sleep hygiene, stress reduction, and even slow breathing interventions may indirectly support glymphatic function. Understanding this system encourages an integrated, holistic approach to brain care that complements conventional psychological interventions. The brain's vascular system. The brain receives roughly 20% of the body's total blood supply, reflecting its high metabolic demands. Blood is delivered to the brain through the internal carotid arteries and the vertebral arteries. These vessels branch into the anterior, middle, and posterior cerebral arteries, which supply different cortical territories. At the base of the brain, these arteries are connected by the circle of Willis, a circular anastomosis that allows collateral circulation in the event of arterial blockage. This redundancy enhances the brain's resilience to ischemic damage. The vascular system supports the delivery of oxygen and glucose while also removing carbon dioxide and other metabolic waste products. Because neurons have minimal energy reserves, interruption in blood flow can quickly lead to neuronal death. This underlies the urgency in treating strokes and transient ischemic attacks, TIAs, which often manifest with sudden behavioral or cognitive changes. Neurovascular coupling, the relationship between neural activity and local blood flow, also underlies technologies like functional MRI, fMRI. Clinicians can use these imaging tools to assess brain function, blood flow dynamics, and metabolic health. Vascular dysfunction contributes to both neurological and psychiatric disorders. Small vessel disease, for example, has been implicated in late-life depression and vascular dementia. Understanding the brain's vascular anatomy helps clinicians interpret imaging findings and link them with psychological symptoms. Moreover, interventions that support cardiovascular health, such as exercise, diet, and stress management, may also protect cognitive function. Integrating this anatomical insight fosters more effective and comprehensive care. General cortical and subcortical divisions. The nervous system is divided into the central nervous system, CNS, and the peripheral nervous system, PNS. The CNS includes the brain, spinal cord, and retina, and it is primarily responsible for processing and integrating information. The PNS encompasses all neural structures outside the CNS and is responsible for relaying information to and from the CNS. This division provides a structural and functional framework for understanding how the body and brain communicate. Each component plays a crucial role in regulating sensory input, motor output, and higher cognitive functions. The brain itself contains approximately 86 billion neurons, with an even greater number of glial cells that support and modulate neural activity. These neurons are highly interconnected, forming networks that allow for rapid information exchange across both hemispheres. The spinal cord, a cylindrical column of nervous tissue, acts as a communication highway, transmitting sensory data from the body to the brain and motor commands from the brain to the body. It also hosts central pattern generators and mediates reflexive responses. This integration of sensory and motor pathways allows the body to respond quickly and effectively to environmental stimuli. Subcortical structures such as the thalamus, hypothalamus, basal ganglia, and limbic system are critical in modulating emotion, motivation, arousal, and coordinated movement. These structures operate below the level of conscious awareness, yet exert powerful influences on behavior and mood. Understanding the interplay between cortical and subcortical areas is essential for identifying the neurobiological basis of psychiatric and neurological disorders. For instance, disruptions in cortical-subcortical circuits are implicated in conditions like ADHD, depression, schizophrenia, and Parkinson's disease. Clinicians benefit from recognizing these anatomical relationships when developing treatment plans and interpreting neuroimaging data. Nerves. Nerves are bundles of axons that function as communication lines between the brain, spinal cord, and the rest of the body. In the peripheral nervous system, they transmit both sensory and motor information. Sensory nerves carry input from receptors throughout the body to the CNS, while motor nerves convey commands from the CNS to muscles and glands. These functional distinctions are critical to understanding how injury or disease in specific nerves can result in characteristic patterns of weakness, sensory loss, or autonomic dysfunction. For mental health professionals, awareness of these patterns can support accurate referral and interdisciplinary collaboration. The cranial nerves are 12 paired nerves that emerge directly from the brain, primarily serving the head and neck. Some are purely sensory, like the olfactory and optic nerves, while others are motor, such as the oculomotor and hypoglossal nerves. Still others, like the vagus nerve, carry both sensory and motor fibers and have a profound influence on autonomic regulation, including heart rate and digestion. The spinal nerves, by contrast, emerge from the spinal cord in 31 pairs and serve the entire body. Each spinal nerve contains a dorsal root carrying sensory input and a ventral root carrying motor output, ensuring two-way communication. Damage to peripheral nerves can result in symptoms ranging from muscle paralysis to chronic pain. Understanding the anatomical organization and function of nerves aids in distinguishing neurological from psychological complaints. For example, neuropathic pain may mimic somatic symptoms of anxiety, but requires different therapeutic strategies. Moreover, vagus nerve stimulation is an emerging treatment for mood disorders, highlighting the relevance of neuroanatomy to psychological interventions. As psychophysiological therapies evolve, nerve function will remain a key point of integration. Cortical generators. EEG signals primarily arise from synchronized electrical activity in pyramidal neurons of the cerebral cortex, especially those located in layers 3, 5, and 6. These neurons are oriented perpendicular to the cortical surface and generate voltage fields that can summate to create detectable scalp potentials. These potentials reflect not action potentials, but graded postsynaptic potentials, primarily excitatory and inhibitory events at dendrites. The organization of these neurons into vertical macro columns, each consisting of hundreds of neurons, enhances the capacity for synchronized firing. When macro columns share input and fire together, they produce local field potentials that can be recorded at the scalp. The structure and spacing of these macro columns determine the characteristics of the EEG signal. Nearby macro columns that synchronize create faster waveforms like beta and gamma, while distant macro columns may give rise to slower rhythms like theta and delta. These patterns are described in terms of local, regional, and global resonant loops. Local loops occur within a few millimeters, regional loops span centimeters, and global loops may bridge distant cortical regions. Each of these loops contributes to different cognitive and behavioral states. Although cortical networks can generate EEG rhythms independently, they are often influenced by thalamic pacemaker circuits. The interplay between thalamocortical and corticothalamic pathways regulates synchrony, rhythm generation, and signal amplitude. These dynamics are especially relevant in disorders characterized by dysregulated rhythms, such as epilepsy or attention disorders. For clinicians, understanding these cortical generators helps interpret EEG findings and develop targeted neurofeedback protocols. This knowledge also supports a more nuanced view of how cortical activity reflects psychological states. Thalamic generators. The thalamus plays a central role in generating rhythmic brain activity. Thalamocortical relay neurons project to the cortex and receive reciprocal input from it, forming closed loops that can resonate at specific frequencies. These neurons engage in rhythmic burst firing, especially when influenced by inhibitory input from the thalamic reticular nucleus. This cycle of inhibition and rebound excitation results in synchronized activity that propagates to the cortex. These patterns underlie many of the slower rhythms seen in EEG, such as alpha and theta. The thalamic reticular nucleus is composed of GABAergic neurons that inhibit thalamocortical relay cells. This inhibition creates a pause, followed by a rebound burst once the inhibition is lifted. This mechanism gives rise to spindle oscillations seen during sleep and may contribute to attentional gating during wakefulness. Neurotransmitters such as GABA and acetylcholine modulate these oscillations, influencing their frequency and coherence. The precise balance of excitation and inhibition in these circuits is critical for maintaining normal brain rhythms. Dysregulation of thalamic pacemakers can lead to abnormal rhythmic activity. For example, excessive synchronization in thalamocortical loops has been implicated in absent seizures. Conversely, impaired thalamic contribution may reduce coherence, affecting attention and sensory processing. These thalamic rhythms are not isolated phenomena, but interact with broader cortical and subcortical networks. Understanding them provides insight into both typical cognitive function and pathological states such as epilepsy, ADHD, and schizophrenia. The locus coeruleus inhibits thalamic alpha generators. The locus coeruleus, LC, is a small nucleus in the pons that plays a key role in modulating attention and arousal. It is the principal site for brain synthesis of norepinephrine, a neurotransmitter involved in vigilance and cognitive flexibility. When activated, the LC sends noradrenergic projections throughout the brain, including to the thalamus and cortex. This activation suppresses the rhythmic firing of thalamic neurons responsible for alpha wave generation, facilitating a shift from passive to active brain states. This suppression is known as alpha blocking. In relaxed states with low attentional demand, alpha rhythms dominate, particularly over posterior cortical regions. As cognitive load or sensory input increases, the LC becomes active, releasing norepinephrine and disrupting thalamic alpha rhythms. This desynchronization allows faster frequencies, such as beta, to dominate, reflecting heightened engagement. Interestingly, pupil diameter has been shown to correlate with LC activity and alpha blocking, providing a non-invasive measure of this neurophysiological process. The extent of alpha suppression also correlates with task performance and attention levels. Clinically, these mechanisms have implications for understanding attentional disorders and fatigue. Impaired LC function can result in sustained alpha activity even during task performance, indicating reduced alertness or underengagement. Conversely, excessive noradrenergic activity may contribute to anxiety and hypervigilance. Understanding the LC's role in modulating thalamic activity offers a target for both pharmacological and biofeedback interventions aimed at optimizing attention and arousal. Additional subcortical generators. Subcortical structures beyond the thalamus contribute significantly to EEG generation and modulation. The basal forebrain, reticular formation, locus coeruleus, and raphe nuclei form ascending arousal systems that project diffusely to the cortex. These systems modulate cortical excitability and synchronization through cholinergic, noradrenergic, and serotonergic pathways. Their activity promotes EEG desynchronization, facilitating cognitive engagement, alertness, and adaptive behavioral responses. These subcortical systems respond to both internal states and external stimuli, adjusting cortical readiness accordingly. The basal forebrain releases acetylcholine, enhancing cortical blood flow and excitability. This contributes to desynchronized EEG patterns associated with wakefulness and focused attention. The reticular activating system spans the brainstem and provides tonic activation to the thalamus and cortex. Its role in maintaining consciousness and attention is well documented, and damage to this system can lead to coma or chronic drowsiness. The raphe nuclei, primarily serotonergic, influence mood, alertness, and sleep-wake regulation. These systems interact dynamically, with each exerting influence on the thalamus and directly on cortical targets. When these systems are underactive, EEG patterns may revert to slower, more synchronized rhythms associated with drowsiness or disengagement. Hyperactivity in these circuits may contribute to anxiety, hyperarousal, and insomnia. Understanding these subcortical influences enriches the clinician's ability to interpret EEG and to develop interventions that align neural activity with therapeutic goals. These insights are particularly relevant for neurofeedback, where training can target rhythm regulation and state optimization.